I have a question. Have any of you ever tried to explain something to someone that just doesn't understand what you clearly understand? I mean, you've had those conversations, haven't you? Amen. Where, and it could be about anything. It could be about something mechanical, or maybe something that you experienced that the other person hasn't experienced. And they just look at you dumbfounded. They're like, I don't get it. And you clearly understand. And you want them to understand what you understand, so you use a lot of different examples to try to help them understand. And still, they don't understand. They're like, and you leave, and the longer you try to understand, help them understand, the more exasperated you get. Has that happened to y'all? It's happened to me. And how many times have you two gone and tried to show something to someone and they not be able to see it? It's kind of like not being able to see the forest for the trees. Or you see a picture and you say, look at that, and you get something out of that picture totally different of what somebody else gets out of it. And you're like, don't you see what I see? And they're like, no, I can't see it. Yesterday, Colton and I were in the woods, and there was one of them swamp rabbits came up. I saw something moving or something, but Colton said, look at that big old swamp rabbit. And I thought, I don't see it. He said, it's right there. I said, I can't see it. And it was about 5 yards away from us. I couldn't see it. And it was clearly there until it moved, and then I saw it. And it was there the whole time, and I couldn't see it. That ever happened to you? Have you ever, I know you have, you ever read in the Bible where it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Since we've been talking about truth and the promises of God and the surety of God and believing those things, I want to talk about an ear to hear this morning because it's very closely related. Actually, you can't believe unless you do have an ear to hear. Deuteronomy chapter 29. You can turn there. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now, the covenant that he made with them in Horeb was the Ten Commandments. And these were the other words of the other parts of the covenant. Now, verse 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Now, we're not talking about Jesus saying it. We're going way back to the beginning of God's chosen nation of Israel. And Moses says, these are the people that he brought out of bondage. You remember those plagues that he plagued Egypt with? The locusts turning the water into blood. All of that. The Moses' rod that he threw down before Pharaoh, and it turned into a serpent. And then that same rod ate up all the other rods that the soothsayers threw down. They're the other people of Pharaoh's. And it gobbled them up. Those were great signs. Them crossing the Red Sea on dry land. And as soon as they got past, Pharaoh and all of his army had come, and his horse and his rider were drowned by the same sea that was walled up to deliver them. How that God brought them out with a mighty hand and led them in the wilderness with the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire. How the mighty things that God had showed unto them in the Mount Sion that quaked with the power of God. How that they were sustained in the wilderness by the quails that he sent, by the manna that he gave them, by the rock that delivered water to them when they were so thirsty, and they said, "You've brought us out here to die. We could have died in Egypt, where things were so great for us when we were slaves." God spoke to them, didn't he? He gave them that land. And Moses is here and he says, and God still hasn't given you the heart to understand, an eye to see, or an ear to hear. You are a stubborn people. You've seen all the signs evidently set forth before you, and you can't perceive it. God's used all these things, and you still can't see. Let me ask you, if you were there and had crossed the Red Sea, and you were there and had seen Moses go up into the mountain that quaked, would you have been one of the ones that worshiped the cow? Or would you stand up and say, "I'm not going to be a partaker of this. This is blasphemy to God." And when you were in the wilderness, would you complain about your current status because God, you just didn't believe Him? Would you have ears to hear? Or would you murmur and complain like they did, that you brought us out here just to die? Which side would you be on? He goes on. It's not going to do for me to keep on going in Deuteronomy because I got so many other places that I want to go. Jeremiah 25, you don't have to turn Jeremiah, but Jeremiah 25 and 4 says, "And the Lord has sent unto you all His servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear." Who was Jeremiah? Jeremiah was what we call the weeping prophet. Why was he called the weeping prophet? For this reason. Because God had sent them not only their historical facts that they couldn't remember, that they were a stiff-necked people, and that they just didn't believe God, even though He'd given them all the signs, all the wonders, and that yet they still didn't believe God. Jeremiah wept because the whole nation was stiff-necked and wouldn't turn to God. You know what happened before this? You know what happened to those people that didn't believe? We mentioned this last time. God, He says, "I'm grieved with this people. They've tempted me now and provoked me now these 10 times. All these signs that I've given them that I am their God. The many times that I've spoken to them, and yet they're stiff-necked and rebellious." He would not allow them to enter into the land of Canaan. Remember that. So He spoke to them in a lot of ways. And after that, He gave them prophets. Now, we're skipping a lot of time in here in the Scriptures. And coming down to the place of Jeremiah. And this is before captivity. This is before they were gone into the Babylonian captivity, where Nebuchadnezzar came down and took them. Y'all know that, right? Y'all know that they were taken into captivity. I mean, they were enslaved again. They were overrun. Their nation was overrun. They were no longer free to move about Jerusalem. They were under the rule of this king. They took them away from their homeland. Now, Jeremiah is the prophet, one of the prophets, to prophesy to the children of Israel before that captivity. Because God still gave them span to repent. And Jeremiah says, "The Lord has sent unto you all His servants of prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear." They've been not hearing for a long time, haven't they? Then, Nebuchadnezzar comes down and they're in captivity. Under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar, taken away from their temple, not able to worship there. That's bad, isn't it? Then God sends them another prophet. This one's name is Ezekiel. And you can turn there in Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, "Son of man, talking to Ezekiel, "Thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight as stuff for the removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight as they go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight and carry out thereby." What he's telling him to do is, you pack up all your stuff just like you were going to be in captivity. And you leave like somebody's going to carry you away. You carry the things that are essential for you. And you leave and you do this in the sight of all them. Do y'all know what the prophets were? God sent the prophets to the children of Israel to give them a word of God. To show them by example in these things. That was a strange thing for God to ask Ezekiel to do, but it's not the strangest thing. You read Ezekiel, you see he asked him to do some strange things as a sign to those people. Strange things. He told him to sit naked in the dust, I believe, one time, and cast dust upon his head. Strange things. Why? Because God was sending them a message. Now, the thing about the prophets was, I believe in Jeremiah, it might not be Jeremiah, it says, "You'll know that these are my prophets when their words come to pass." Now, there was a lot of words that were sent by God by these prophets, and every one of the words that was sent by God sent prophets came to pass. And he said, that's how you know they're a prophet, if what they say comes to pass. So God gave them, and there's a lot of prophets in there. I mean, all the books of the Old Testament pretty much are a lot of them are prophets. You got the major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and you got the lesser prophets like Nahum and Obadiah. All of them had a word that was sent from God, and all of them came true. And yet, for all of those signs, the people of Israel still didn't believe. They had ears to hear and eyes to see, but they could not hear and they could not see because God had given them a spirit of slumber that they might not see and they might not hear and they might not understand. Do you understand that? I don't. I think God gives them space to see and to hear. I mean, remember, these are God's people that He brought out. He gave them space to repent from their rebellion, and they would not. And finally, God had enough of it, and He said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." This is a long span of time that He still, even after that, even after He gave that declaration of judgment to that generation, He still sent prophets to the younger generation. And they didn't see. They didn't hear. They didn't understand. So many prophets. What did Jesus say? "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets." Why did they kill the prophets? Because they didn't like the message. They didn't like the message. But who sent the message? God sent the message. They just didn't like what God said. So they just killed the messenger. But you see, they can't kill the one that gave the message. Then we're going to fast forward. Jesus comes. And we can turn over there to Matthew chapter 11. And there's so many places. He talks about it three times in Matthew, three times in Mark, two times in Luke. Verse 7. And as they departed, this is right after John sent messengers to Jesus saying, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" God told his messengers to go back and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. You see that? You go tell him what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight. And the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, what is that? God gave them prophets, didn't he? He gave them signs, didn't he? And they didn't understand, they didn't hear, they didn't see. John even got to the point where he wondered. I mean, the one that Jesus called him Elias here. He's the one that's going to come, that should come. And he told these messengers that had repented and were baptized of John. And John was wondering, and he said, "You go back and you show God, you show John again that these signs are happening. This is it. I am he. The dead are raised, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the blind see, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." These are all miracles that were prophesied of Jesus. And he says, "You go show John again. You go tell him. This is it." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "Who went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.' Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." That's an amazing statement, isn't it? He said, he's the greatest. And those that are least in the kingdom of God are greater than him. That's amazing. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about the poor. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, that means from the days of when John started preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, that can get a little complicated and sounds kind of difficult, doesn't it? But he's talking about that king. So first of all, we can use deductive reasoning and logic to figure out by Jesus' word that the kingdom of heaven was already here. Already here. Already established. From the time that John the Baptist started preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, all the way up until the day that Jesus spoke these words, he says it suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now I am of the opinion that it is talked about that whatever these people that have seen and repented and followed the Lord have, whereas before they were blasphemers and unbelievers, that they have been taken by the force of the Holy Spirit, and that they that's the way that the Lord suffered it so to be. That it was taken by the force of the Holy Spirit, and whereas there's no really even a reason for them naturally to believe all these things, except they had ears to hear and eyes to see. Now, the violent taking it by force is not my subject today. Jesus says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. That means that's over. That's over. The prophecy that Elias spoke of, the prophecy that he made of John, that was the end of these things. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Jesus is telling them, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And then he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what Jesus didn't say? He didn't say, you should get ears to hear. He didn't say, believe and then you'll have ears. He says, he just made the statement, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Then again in Matthew 13, turn over. This is the parable of the sower. You know about it. The sower went forth to sow. Some fell by the wayside, some stony places, and then some fell amongst thorns, and some fell into good ground. And he says, in verse 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, Jesus did not implore them to get ears. He didn't instruct them on how to get ears. He just said, if you have ears, let them hear. Don't be stiff-necked like your fathers were. If you have ears to hear. And the disciples came and said, Master, why do you speak to them in parables? And then Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Why, wait a minute, God. I thought you made all of this a proposition. I thought you made it possible for people to hear the gospel and to understand it. I thought you made it possible for people to make that choice and have and get ears to hear. But Jesus, out of his own mouth, said it is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it is not given. They have not had their ears open that they could hear, or their eyes open that they could see, or their heart softened that they could understand. You understand that? God does that work. Wow. Then farther on in 13. He's speaking these parables of the kingdom. And he's talking about the kingdom being like a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And he goes on. And he says, in verse 30, let both of them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first of the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And he talked to him about the other kingdom parables. Then Jesus, this was to the multitude, and then Jesus sent the multitude away in verse 36, and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, these are his followers, and said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. I wish they had asked him to explain all of them. But he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. I'm of the opinion that Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and of the end of the world. I think this is talking about both events. One having a near future, kept coming in the near future, and one coming at the end of the world. At the end of the world. Now, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You tell people that? About the end of the world? What do? They think you're crazy. Some of them do. Most of them do. That the Lord's going to burn. There are people that declare they are followers of Christ today and will not hear what Jesus says about the tares, about them being of the wicked one and them being burned. They will not hear the truth of the gospel. They will not hear that this world is going to be burned up and all of God's children will be taken home to be with Him. Those that He has given ears to hear and those that have been covered in the covenant of grace from before the foundation of the world. They will not hear that. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's not the only time that the Lord speaks about this. He speaks about this in Revelation. Did you remember? How many churches were there at Asia that the letters were written to? How many? Say it out loud. Seven. Seven churches at Asia. Seven times in Revelation, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You notice something different about all of those. He says that to every, at the end of every letter to every church. You notice something different about the phrase in Revelation as opposed to the phrase in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? He uses ear in the singular. Not talking about these right here. He's talking about this right here in the heart. Now, if you don't have that in the heart, you certainly can't have it in the ear, can you? Now, how do we open these ears? Because I wish I could open ears. I do. I wish I could open ears to hear, eyes to see, and heart to understand. Let's go way back into Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. You don't have to go there. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. That means He gave him a tongue to speak. You remember back at the beginning, He touched His tongue with a coal of fire, hot, that he had, that the angel used tongs to touch His tongue with it. He said, He hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned, or as the learned. Who wakes your ear? Who wakes your ear? Is it you or is it God? It's God. God's the one that gave you an ear. You know, remember what He told Moses? Moses was whining about, I'm of slow speech and a slow tongue, trying to get out of being God's man to do the job. And God said, who made the tongue? I made the tongue. Now you use it. You go speak it. Now, there's a lot said about this. So where are we at? Now, where are we at? We don't have prophets anymore, do we? John the Baptist is gone. We have their words recorded, but we don't need those words. That's not the mode that God used. That's not the sign or the wonders that God uses to cause His children to hear and understand. Did you know in Hebrews chapter 1? Here's where we're at. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Did you know that in times past, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and He spoke to them by the greatest prophet born among women, and that was John the Baptist. And now, after the resurrection of Christ, He has spoken to us by His Son. Now that's the greatest prophet. That's the greatest sign that there ever was. And do you know that was the only sign that Jesus said that would be given to that generation? He said, "There shall be no." They asked Him, "What sign is it that shall be that we know that Thou art the Son of God?" You know, they're all looking for signs, even though they wouldn't hearken to the signs that God had already given them throughout their history. They still said, "Show us a sign. Give us a sign." He already said, "I've given you. I've shown you all the works. I've raised the dead. I have healed the lame. I've touched lepers. I've healed the sick. I've made the blind to see and the dumb to speak, and you still don't believe Me for the work's sake." And then when He was talking to them about Lazarus and the rich man, you remember what He said? Lazarus said, Oh, Father Abraham, send back somebody so that none of My brothers will be tormented in this flame." And what was God's answer to him, or Abraham's answer to him? He says, "Son, Thou hast lived sumptuously in Thy day." And He said, "They're not going to listen to Me, even though one rose from the dead." Even though one rose from the dead. They won't hear it. They won't see it. They won't understand it. They don't have a heart to perceive, eyes to see, or ears to hear. Though one rose from the dead, they still won't believe it. God's now spoken to us by His Son. And He's sitting on the right hand of the throne of majesty on high. I want y'all to understand that the gospel is not the means of supplying an ear. Do y'all get that? As a man of God, a called minister of the gospel, my preaching will not give you an ear. This gospel will not cause you to grow an ear of faith. But what the preaching of the gospel will do, it will save them that believe. And it will bring light and immortality to light. It will not give you life or immortality. It will shed light on that life and immortality that you have. It will strike a chord with you if you have that faith in your heart, if you have been given an ear to hear by God, and you hear a man preach the gospel, that hearing in you will, it'll strike something in you. You will understand the word that's preached. You'll know that it come from God. And when that is the situation, I will say to you, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to you. Because it's not me that sends it. It's the Spirit that gives you an ear to hear. The gospel does not. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom." You see, that's what the whole world is looking for. They're looking for these two-ear wisdom. They're not looking for that third-ear wisdom, the God-ear wisdom. You know why? Because they don't have one. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, these words matter, don't they? It didn't say it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save the wicked. That's never taught in the scriptures. Not one time. But the gospel does save them that believe. And that's the purpose of the gospel, folks. Is to save you. Save you from erroneous teachings, from being deceived by Satan himself and the people that would preach a lie to you. How many times have I preached at different places to people that haven't heard this message of the grace of God and the power of God in saving His people, in sending His Son to procure all and make all of His seed sure, to be a sacrifice for their sins, not to make it possible, but steadfast and sure that their salvation is sure. And those people that haven't heard that message, when they come to me after the service, many times they've told me, "I've never heard that, but that's what I've always believed. The way you preach it struck a chord with me." You know what? They had an ear to hear. God gave them an ear to hear. But how many of them are here today? There might be some. There might be some. God gives that ear to hear. I don't. The words on the pages of this book don't give it. That comes from God. Let's all remember that God speaks to us by His Spirit. And many times we are in the same situation that these people were. We have an ear to hear. Are we hearing? We have eyes to see, but are we perceiving? We have a heart to understand, but are we understanding? Let's think about those things, because it matters. It matters. Jesus didn't speak these things for no reason. God didn't send the prophets to His people for no reason. There's a reason why He gives us all the words of this book. It's for us to guide our lives by. I want one more. And I'll leave you with this. Revelation chapter 13. This is gonna sound rough. Bad. Wow, this is talking about this beast. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon the heads the name of the blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So he's blaspheming not only the name of God, but all them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That don't sound good, does it? Do you think this is going to come to pass? Do you think God's lying about it? And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's pretty widespread, isn't it? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What does that say? It says the same thing it said in other places. Gog and Magog had an army that surrounded the saints. Satan gathered his army, encompassed the holy city and all the saints. That means surrounded them. You remember what happened to them? I mean, you remember what happened to the saints? Nothing. It's the war that never was. Jesus just took Satan by the neck and threw him into the lake of fire, just like it did Gog and Magog. You know what it says right after this? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. What are we supposed to take away from this? He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. That sounds a lot like he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, don't it? He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Times are going to get rough. Don't be deceived into thinking that all things are going to be rosy. It's going to be bad. But the patience and the saints, the patience of the saints and the faith of the saints is here. He's going to take captivity captive. Him that leads into captivity. You know what that means? That means me and you. He's going to take that one and lead him into captivity. Those that kill with the sword will be killed by the sword. Don't worry about it. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. He that hath an ear, let him hear. May the Lord bless us to not be deceived. May the Lord bless us to listen to Him with that ear. Perceive with that eye and understand with that heart. May God bless you to do that this week and for the rest of our days.